gang. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. Fabulous Filbert Thursday, huh? Yes, it's Thursday. Yeah, it's... Hey, thanks for changing your schedule for me, Filbert.
Yeah, no problem, sir. Anything for Dr. Slattery.
All right. Well, for my own personal reasons, I wanted to do this show today. I'm going to be recording a few shows, and this worked better for my schedule. Today we're going to start off looking at this mess in Italy, the Italian mess. And it seems kind of strange because it just seemed like it, a few weeks ago you had this election in Italy and you had these anti-immigration parties, the Five Star Movement and the Northern League win the election. And well, now what's going on? Their leaders are not going to be able to form a government, and Italy is being punished by the bond market. What's all this going on? What is all this business?
Well, the bond market is key to just about everything that's going on, because that's where the money is created. That's where currently cheap money is made.
President Clinton was quoted, I guess, from maybe 1993, 1994, when he was trying to come up with his budget, his economic plan, and he was saying, "What, are you telling me that these mother blanks in the bond market get to determine the success of my program?" And, you know, that's the thing. You got the financial markets, and often it is the bond market, often, because the bond market is going to determine your rate of borrowing, your effective interest rate.
And the bond market is rigged. I mean, it's supposed to be a price discovery mechanism, you know, from the stock market, and that's not how it works anymore.
Well, we have our system, our political system, our electoral system is a little bit peculiar too, with the Electoral College that most Americans don't understand very well, and then you have to explain it to foreigners. The Italian system, the system for electing a prime minister, it has a little something akin to the Electoral College, something that's typically a formality. But, you know, under certain circumstances, it can be manipulated, just like the Electoral College. You know, there's an attempt to manipulate it in 2016. So a prime minister in most systems of government is not the head of state, the head of government. Now, in the American system, the president is both the head of state and the head of government. But in Italy or the UK or Sweden or Japan or most of these other countries where the leader of, you know, the most important person, the effective leader of the country, is a prime minister, there's usually either a president or a monarch. And so what happens is you have an election, and then it's this figurehead of a president or a monarch who formally appoints the prime minister. Now, that doesn't make the person permanently the prime minister. It means that that person gets to try to form a government, and that person will seek support from, you know, his own party, and if his own party doesn't have a majority, then tries to build a coalition that would have a majority. And so this is something that really limits the freedom of choice of the monarch or the president to make this usually formality, because you're not going to appoint somebody as prime minister who doesn't have a chance of forming a government. Well, in this latest Italian election, okay, so I got everything in front of me. The election was almost 3 months ago. It was in early March. And you had three main forces. You had a center-left coalition, and then you had this center-right coalition centering around what used to be called the Northern League or the Lombard League, which used to be kind of actually separatist back in the 90s. But they've expanded, and they've expanded into central Italy as well. And then you've got this five-star movement, which is strong in southern Italy, which is very populist, anti-establishment. And both the League and the five-star movement are relatively anti-immigrant. I don't want to pass myself off as an expert in Italian politics, but between these two forces, the League and the five-star movement, they controlled a clear majority of the seats in Parliament, but the League had more. And, you know, both of the leaders of these two movements, the reason it's taken so long is, you know, both of them wanted to be the prime minister. And negotiations between these two main forces, both of which have basically an effective veto, dragged on and on. But by mid-May, they were coming pretty close together. Both leaders realized they weren't going to be able to get the prime ministership for themselves, and so they were looking for, you know, a third party. When I say a third party, you know, somebody like a university professor. They do this in Italy from time to time. And they had settled on a university professor, went to the president to try to get the president to appoint him, and it didn't work out that way. And I'm not enough of an expert to say how it was that the president refused or in the end didn't nominate this professor. But it didn't happen, and instead the president has nominated some ex-IMF official. And this IMF official, I guess he was given the task of forming a government a couple of days ago, and it's all fallen through. So you're at this situation where if they can't form a new government, then you'd have new elections could be called. That's one way of resolving the crisis. And if new elections are called, who knows what's going to happen, but it would be my guess that you would have, if anything, an even stronger anti-establishment vote, because people who had voted for one of these two parties would feel that they were ripped off, right? Could you imagine if something happened in the Electoral College and Donald Trump wasn't inaugurated president, how people would feel? So,
yeah, they wouldn't vote again.
Well, or who knows? And of course, Italians can be kind of rowdy.
Very loud.
They can be loud. They can be rowdy. So this is it's impacting. Obviously, it's impacting the euro because Italy uses the euro, and these populist parties would likely want a what are they calling it? They're not. Brexit is for Britain, and Grexit was for Greece, leaving the eurozone. What are they call? Is it? It's something. It's not it. Italics. It's something else. Brexit. The Italian version of it is like pasta X or something. I don't know what it is, but So this is. If it's affecting the euro, then it affects all of Europe. I've been pretty allergic to Europe for years. And because of the immigration, because of the European society's kind of self-destructing. So, I really don't want European positions, so I don't have any. But and again, we have to reiterate that we're not giving out financial advice.
Right. You know, it's kind of ironic while you're mentioning all this, debt bubble in Europe that never got corrected. the euro to the dollar is surprisingly high today because the dollar took a major plunge today. And I couldn't say why that happened. That's anybody's guess, really. But I have a position in right now to short the dollar against the Swiss franc, and that's providing quite handsomely for me.
That's good. And you would think that the Swiss franc would do well because it is considered a safe haven currency.
Yeah, you would think it would do well all the time, or that's the thought of a lot of people.
Well, certainly,
because of what you just mentioned, it's supposed to be a safe haven.
Because it has political stability, it's not wrapped up.
Right, historically, it has been a safe haven.
Yeah. You know, they've had the same political system since the 1700s. In fact, they were...
Banking as well, with very few changes.
Yeah. The Swiss Federation, the Swiss Confederation, was one of the models that Madison was looking at when drafting the Constitution. So they are... you know, America likes to think of itself as the original democracy or whatever, but the Swiss system goes back even further. Probably, there may well have been more evolutionary changes in Switzerland than in America. I'm not quite sure. One thing is, though, you know, do you know when women got the vote in Switzerland?
Like what year?
Yeah. Or what decade?
No, I don't. I think was it the 60s?
No, it was the 70s. I think it was
19... Okay. I was close.
You were very close. I think it was 1972. They didn't have the vote for the longest time. And then, do you know Little Liechtenstein, which is right between Switzerland and Austria? Women didn't get the vote there until later. I mean, I don't follow it. It's a tiny country with 60,000-70,000 people. But last time I checked, women didn't have the vote, but I would suppose... The last time I checked was probably 25 years ago, so they probably have it by now. But how about that?
No, that's interesting. I didn't know that, you know.
And, well, Switzerland is it's an interesting country in a lot of ways. You know, it's small, but it's got four official languages, Italian being one. German is the main one that's spoken by the most, and then French is spoken by the second most. And then there's this tiny little Romance language native just to Switzerland called Romansh. But what's interesting and what makes Switzerland a model that Dr. Duke is quite interested in is Switzerland is divided into, I'm not sure how many, a few dozen cantons, which are more or less county size. Some are large, you know, there are some that are a lot larger than others. But each canton has a high degree of, you could call it sovereignty. I don't know if sovereignty is the best word, but a high degree of self-government. And so laws can be very, very different from one canton to the next. Something also very interesting about Switzerland is it is probably conforms most to the idea of democracy as opposed to a republic. I mean, it is called the Swiss Republic, but the laws are voted on by referendum. Most legislation is by referendum. And so they have referendum in Switzerland on a very, very regular basis. I'm not Swiss, but that's my understanding. So the people are voting, and then there's very much local autonomy. And so Dr. Duke looks at it because, you know, you hear a lot of talk about the ethno-state or separation or, you know, balkanization. And that might be in our future. Who knows? I mean, balkanization happened in the Balkans, right? It happened to Yugoslavia. Yeah. It did, right? Happened to the Soviet Union. And, you know, it wasn't a pretty sight in either place, especially not in the Balkans. But so you can't rule it out. But the reason that Dr. Duke looks at Switzerland as a good example is you've got all of this local autonomy, and the cantons are based very largely on language. And, of course, language is based on ethnicity. And so you've got these... four different traditional ethnicities. Now, of course, there's a whole bunch of immigrants who have come to Switzerland. That's another story. But you've got these different ethnic areas. And, of course, some cantons are more urban, some are more rural. And they have, you know, different laws and different structures depending on, you know, the local conditions, the local demographic conditions. So he looks at this as a model of the types of things that could happen where without having mass deportations or mass resegregation, where you could have a certain amount of self-segregation, voluntary self-segregation, people wanting to live amongst themselves, and areas, local areas would have greater autonomy. So it would be decentralization. You wouldn't have the federal government imposing everything the way it does now, which is something a lot of people would welcome, more local autonomy. And so, these areas of western Mississippi that are, very largely majority African-American, they would be free to pursue laws and structures that reflect their values. And, rural Wyoming could have its ways, and, eastern Tennessee and New York City, and you just would have a lot less centralization. So that's why Switzerland's interesting. What do you think of that, Philbert? I mean, everything is, any future scenario can seem kind of like pie in the sky, but what do you think of Dr. Duke's idea?
I'd never heard that before. I kind of picture a more realistic scenario as, maybe not realistic, I don't know, depending on who you talk to and what your own personal opinions are. I kind of think what may happen is hopefully we'll have a corner of the country by ourselves, and in all honesty, that may be the best solution and the only, I don't know.
Well,
that's the more I think about things, that may be the case. And I think white flight is white defeat also, but I mean, what are you going to do? If you have kids, do you want them growing up around a bunch of, non-whites? Do you want them to not have the same culture you do? And do you want them to act like a different race, if they're around a different race all the time?
Well, it really depends a lot on which race you're talking about, too. I mean, right now, the mass, the pop culture, our masters of pop culture, are trying to get everybody to act black, right?
Right, that's what I'm referring to.
Yeah. I was at a Chinese dance show a few months ago, and I wouldn't mind so much if I had kids who were in a Chinese dance school learning Chinese dance. That wouldn't particularly bother me. I was looking at it and thinking, there's such a contrast between the Chinese dance, and then I had been at a high school football game, and at halftime the cheer squads came on, and they were doing these really African dances, which were, I guess they were fine for Africans, but to my taste were very, very lewd. I bet African dances aren't even as lewd as our Zionized, hip-hop uh-huh. culture is. But I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, good Maybe, point.
Who knows? I mean, a Jamaican culture, they've got, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, they have, what do they call it, like the dance hall dances, which are virtually pornographic. But that be as it may. Okay, well, we're coming up on the break, but we'll be back with more fun financial, and not just financial, philosophical Philbert Thursday after the break.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Welcome back to the show. Well, Philbert, we were talking earlier about future scenarios for the United States. And, you know, it may all seem like pie in the sky, but is our present situation really sustainable? I mean, look at all the stuff that's going on. We've got this massive immigration.
I mean, yeah, it's obviously too late. I mean, unless there is dramatic change, and when I say dramatic, I don't mean dramatic Trump change, which isn't even happening, by the way. There's no border wall.
Hey, Trump change. Trump change and Trump change.
Right.
Have you ever heard anybody say that?
I haven't yet. Did you just coin that?
You just coined that, and that's going to be a big meme.
Okay.
You heard it here first.
You got to take some credit for that, too.
Well, I discovered it, but you created it.
All right.
Okay.
But anyway, it's not happening. There's no border wall being built. And, you know, I'm not trying to sound harsh or anything, but, I mean, the kind of change that we would need to have is to basically to have a chance to kick out all non-whites, which isn't going to happen, can't happen, and have no more illegal immigration, which isn't going to happen, and stop non-white legal immigration, which isn't going to happen. You need to have all these things, and then you need to increase the white birth rate also, which can happen, but, you know, not overnight. All these things have to happen, you know, for whites to be sustained as a majority in our own nation. And I don't see any of what I just mentioned happening, besides maybe perhaps increasing the white birth rate over time.
I think there are a few things that could happen. I think there's two main ways that the future could play out. One being, you know, a disjuncture, like a massive event, whether it's civil war, balkanization,
or a new ice age.
Who knows? But something really massive and devastating. I guess there's maybe three ways. Another way would just be a collapse, a Zio-led collapse, which seems to be the way we're going. But then the other way is what I would call kind of muddling through. A muddling through to, if not a solution, an improvement. And that may be the most likely thing. And so what would it... I mean, you'd still basically need to overthrow or at least contain Jewish power in America. I think this is, I mean, Russia, the Soviet Union went through the dismemberment. People call it a collapse. I always try to call it a dismemberment because I don't think the Soviet Union collapsed. I think it was dismembered by Yeltsin and his co-conspirators, and then Russia, the Russia that emerged from it, collapsed due to his drunken leadership and giving the country to the Jewish oligarchs, and that caused the collapse. And then since Putin has kind of muddled through, I mean, didn't completely overthrow the Jewish power, but he's muddled through to an improved situation. So what would muddling through to an improved situation look like here? And I think that's really what I call Trumpism, what I used to call Trumpism.
But if we did that, if we did muddle through somehow, do you think we could remain a majority white nation here?
It could remain a majority white nation with an asterisk.
Because, I mean, we're awfully close to that cusp. I mean, it's only going to take, you know, less than a decade if we don't change anything, it's going to be too late.
Well, okay. So, I mean, we're already on that trajectory. And we're on a trajectory that even if you shut down immigration, because of the age distribution of demographics, it's the non-whites who are forming very close to a majority of school-age population, which means...
Right. White school children are already a minority nationwide.
At least public school children.
Right.
At least public school children. And soon, you know, I'm not sure about maternity wards or people being...
I mean, I don't mean to be black-pilling or so negative. I'm really not. I try to be a realistic person.
Well, okay, you know? So here's the asterisk. It could remain... white, a majority white and dominant white country with an asterisk. What is the asterisk? The asterisk means that the what is considered white would be somewhat revised. Okay, and I do think there is a certain amount of precedent for this because, you know, the United States was founded as a white country, but it was really pretty much, there were Germans. It was an Anglo-Saxon, it was a Northwestern European, basically Protestant country. So mostly, you know, the British Isles, but not Ireland so much. Northern Ireland, but, you know, it's Great Britain, Northern Ireland, Holland, German, maybe a certain amount of France. That was, and Sweden. Right, a certain amount. Yeah, I mean, Delaware was a Swedish colony before it was British. So it was a Northwestern stock, certainly Northwestern European stock. And when the Irish came, when you know, Southern Europeans and Eastern Europeans came, okay, we'll be back after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to arOutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. Traumatic. Uh-huh. It was traumatic. And you see this with the formation of the Know Nothing Party, or the Know Nothing Movement, and the American Party, which was the Know Nothing Party in the 1850s. What happened is the concept of what was American, what was white American, because American, I guess, and white were basically the same idea. It expanded to an extent. It expanded to include Southern Europe and Ireland and Eastern Europe. So that's happened before. So how could it expand? A lot of the Hispanics here are mostly white. I don't know what the... I'm not saying most of them are, but the Cubans, the big Cuban population that came in the early 60s before the that... Jimmy Carter sponsored criminal flotilla. I forgot what that group was called, but
the Bay of Pigs.
No, the movie Scarface.
Oh no, I'm sorry, I'm thinking of JFK.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter. He brought over the Scarface people. It was the something boat lift, the Metella boat lift, or something like that. He let Castro empty his jails into America. It was a completely retarded thing, but at any rate, people like Rick Sanchez or Jim Acosta from CNN. I mean, you look at them and they're completely white, but they identify as Hispanic. Why do they identify as Hispanic? Because America is a victim culture. In America, your value right. is dictated by your racial victimhood. And so lots and lots of Hispanics who are racially Caucasian, European, maybe even 100% or at least, substantial majority, almost completely European, still don't identify as white because it's not good to identify as white. You got some, you know, that is a big number of people.
I got a little change of directory here, mm-hmm. or direction. I was going to ask you, what is your opinion on the artificial intelligence question, and where do you see that heading? And like, how do you think like that would affect, you know, our dire or near dire situation as whites?
Okay, I want to get to that, but I just want to finish this idea of the asteroid.
Of course.
You got people like Nikki Haley, not nearly in the same numbers, but Nikki Haley, you look at her, I mean, really, does she look that non-white? You know, she's a Sikh.
What does she claim to be?
Well, she's a Sikh. Her parents are from India. And
really?
Yeah. So she's non-white.
She speaks with a southern accent.
Yeah. And so...
Right?
So the thing is...
North Carolina or South Carolina?
Yeah, she was the governor of South Carolina. So Okay. You've got these people who have, you know, in the case of Nikki Haley, you wouldn't say European ancestry, but Aryan, right? I mean, the same Indo-European roots, racially very similar. But they won't identify as whites, and a lot of whites don't want to identify with them either. So, but that is something that if people like that, Jim Acosta or Nikki Haley, and all the people like them, were going to identify as whites and promote white interest, or at least not actively pursue, you know, white destruction the way they do, and you added them to the white numbers, that would be something. And then that's one category. Yeah. It's an if. And
I kind of think that's being awfully generous.
Well, I'm not talking about generous or not. I'm just talking about, and it's not something I'm promoting.
Right, right.
I'm just saying this is a possibility. And, you know, if you've heard me over the past 6 years, I don't talk a lot about this. But it is, you know, because why don't I talk about it? Because I think at the end of the day, I mean, that's going to be not my generation that decides these things. This is going to be something that is either going to happen kind of organically or it's not.
Right? I won't divulge my age yet, maybe sometime, but not that it's a big deal, but I'm not that old, and I'm pretty sure I'll live to see 2060 and hopefully beyond, but at the very least, I know I'll live to see 2060. Yeah. And what they say, by 2048, we're going to be a minority. Or is it 2050?
Or 2042, even.
Oh, okay. I guess it probably depends on who you're asking.
Yeah, it does depend. But yeah, it could be even earlier than that. It depends on trends. And then another is, you've got a lot of East Asians who intermarry. I guess the Hispanics probably intermarry a lot too, but there's a lot of intermarriage with East Asians, and who are not racially white the way, or, you know, they're not coming from the same Indo-European stock, but they cause a lot less problems, and they intermarry a lot, and there is that potential. Like, you go to Hawaii, and the whites and the East Asians have pretty much merged there. There is a certain compatibility. Is that going to?
Are you talking like Kazakhstan?
No, when I talk about East Asia, I'm talking about Japanese, Chinese, Korean. And right now, those numbers, the Chinese numbers are growing fast, and that's a worry because the more those numbers grow, the less likely that you're going to have the scenario I'm talking about happen. It's more likely to happen when, it's easier for the white population to absorb a minority population and digest it if it's a small population. But the Chinese population is growing so fast, right? The Japanese population hasn't grown in the United States, and there's really no Japanese immigration to the United States to speak of. And Korea is slowing down, but China's speeding up. And China, of course, is 1.4 billion, and that could wreck everything for that scenario. But anyway, that's what I meant by the asterisk, that the conception of whiteness, of what it is to be white, would change a little bit, both among the whites and among certain groups of non-whites.
In a way, don't you think that's what the Jews want, though? They kind of want to water down their race?
Well, they want to water it down a lot, okay? And with, so they want to water it down a lot, and they want to water it down in particular with blacks. And, you know, this
well, is... Well, yeah, because they're the darkest possible.
Well, they're...
The only buddy...
They're the most divergent.
Anybody darker would be from Aboriginal Australia.
Yeah, I mean, the blacks are genetically divergent, and in terms of their, you know, various psychological traits, personality traits, are the most divergent. They're the most different. Not that other groups aren't different, too. I mean, even East Asians... who in a lot of ways are model immigrants, but they're divergent. They have different personality traits. In small numbers, they can be absorbed. In large numbers, it gets more and more difficult. And the numbers, you know, have the numbers gone beyond that threshold already? You know, who knows? But anyway, I'm just raising that. Shall we move on to artificial intelligence?
Yeah, that was my question. Just, like, how do you think that's going to affect the whole situation?
Well,
I think that's here to kind of save us or not.
I think it could wind up superseding everything. It depends.
I kind of personally think it could wind up saving us, like, out of left field. Just nobody could see it coming. But that's just a hunch. There's no evidence for me being able to back that up.
All right. Well... We could get really deep. I don't know if we have enough time to get really deep. But if you think about most of the history of life on Earth was one-celled animals, okay? And
single-celled organisms.
Single-celled organisms. I guess before single-celled organisms, you had a kind of proto-life, which was just DNA. Is just these molecules, and you know, you had genes, and you know, they'd replicate each other. They could replicate, reproduce, carbon copies of themselves. And then, as they started to, so the single cell organism, you got the DNA, and the DNA produces various types of proteins. And if you get these, you know, a gene, it produces proteins. It can build certain things, certain structures within a cell. And if they came together in certain combinations, you know, some combinations are stronger than others. I mean, you think of a basketball team, you get this center, you get that point guard. And if you mix and match, you can get a really strong team. And so genes could come together that way. One thing is they have to work together as a team. And then from single-celled organisms to multi-celled organisms, which was a massive change, the single cells have to repress their own reproduction and leave it to the reproductive cells.
So where are you getting with the AI on this?
Okay, where I'm getting is you've had these massive junctures. With AI, you could be moving away from the realm of reproduction through biological means and skip the biology altogether and have all reproduction through, you know, electronic information means. And we wouldn't even be necessary anymore. So the AI could wind up replacing the human race. It could. I'm not somebody who says, oh, let's go out to the stars. I'm not really a big science fiction type of person.
Uh-huh.
But I do think AI could decide the heck with humans. Philbert, you were talking during the break about the fog. What is the fog?
The fog. Well, there's some futurists and science fiction authors that believe something, this thing called the fog, could be a very realistic scenario. And the fog is theoretically very tiny little nano machines that would basically do our bidding and be our like little personal assistant. Only if you could think of like trillions and trillions of tiny little personal assistants. Like they could carry us around the world like Superman. We could fly around and, well, they could artificially make, you know, anything in the world, you know, out of, you know, any kind of material. But I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting. I didn't know if you'd ever heard about that or not.
Well, there's something else. Yeah, there's something.
Because you were going on pretty good about the AI, and then we had to go to break.
Well, okay, so you've got AI. Well, that's one thing. I guess my point with AI is that, you know, you've got automation already, right? You've got automated technology. You've got automated information technology, computer programs. And look what all computer programs do. And look at your games and everything, computer games. How advanced they are, and then think about viruses. Okay, so we're becoming more and more dependent on automation, and we're moving towards self-driving cars and all sorts of things. It's just going at such an alarming rate. And whether it's the artificial intelligence figuring out things for themselves, or some malevolent person this writing viruses, or even military. Think of cyber warfare. Let's infect the other side's automation with some virus that is going to be malevolent towards people. You know, so you could have the idea spread amongst these increasingly networked high-tech programs, you know, artificial intelligence, that would become anti-human. And once, you know, if we reach a point of dependency for our own existence, and this were to happen, wow, it would be a very bad science fiction scenario. I've been wanting to have a talk about, you know, whether we face more of a threat from killer robots or from clones, you know. And I'm kind of...
Well, didn't the cloning kind of stop?
Well, here's the thing. When I say clone, I don't really mean clone, but you have this new technology, CRISPR. In fact, it's a hot stock if you're interested in stocks. You can look at it. CRISPR is a gene inserting technology. You can splice genes into DNA, and conceivably, you could make superhumans with it. And this was mentioned in a talk by Jared Taylor. He's the white people are smarter than blacks guy. And, you know, that's his whole thing. And he was interviewing a black guy, a young black man, who admits that blacks are, on average, less intelligent. But he was talking about CRISPR as a way that blacks could catch up. So you would insert smart genes into black embryos to make them smarter. And Jared Taylor says, well, couldn't you insert genes into the DNA of white people and they would remain ahead? Well, of course, actually, if you think about it...
I like that impersonation.
If you think about it, where are these smart genes coming from? These aren't necessarily newly created super genes. These would just be genes from smart people. So you'd be taking them from... You know, from smart white people or maybe smart Asian people.
Yeah, or combination.
Yeah, and so you could splice them into blacks. You could splice, you know, jumping powers or dunking powers into whites. You could do these.
I wonder who would help finance that.
Well, guess who is probably already moving in this direction? The Chinese. The Chinese are really into this kind of thing. Now, I think CRISPR technology, CRISPR is an American company as far as I know, and I do think it's the Europeans that are right now ahead in terms of, you know, genome sequencing and gene splicing. The Europeans are ahead. But the Chinese are more interested and have less ethical concerns about it. So here's the thing. This is the kind of the one thing. It was interesting that this based black guy or young black guy, this is something he mentioned. This is And of course, the least likely group that would use it would be blacks, because, you know, you would to use it, you'd be making test tube babies, right? I mean, you'd be using it on test tube babies and embryos. So the conventional way, and probably, I'm sure, for blacks, and for everybody, really, but especially for blacks, the preferred way of reproduction is the old-fashioned way, right? But,
okay, we'll be back after the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show. You know, I do know people from the past couple of decades who have fertility issues, especially older people who are trying to have children, who, you know, go this other route, this, you know, which involves, I guess, masturbating into test tubes and whatnot. But that leaves open the, you know, prospect of sampling the DNA from embryos and, you know, selecting the ones that have the best DNA, or even if you're talking about CRISPR, supercharging the DNA of your potential babies. What do you think about that?
About paying for them?
Well, no, I mean just about the potential of creating superhumans, or the potential of, making, basically inserting white or Asian intelligence genes into blacks. And, I don't know how many whites really want to have black jumping genes or running genes, but, there's all sorts of possibilities.
I don't like the thought of that.
But I'm not saying I like the thought of it, but I'm saying we're actually on the cusp of it, and the Chinese might even be getting into it. This is something that we could be seeing.
My immediate thought is the same thought that I have about GMO food, in that there's lots of people that think it's so good, it's going to be, good for humanity, and those people are just fooling themselves. And, it may turn out that if we try that, we'll find out how much we don't know about the human body and how much adverse reactions we'll get from it.
That's
what I think would happen.
This is exactly the concern I've always had about GMO food. And when I first read about genetic engineering back in the 70s, I was so alarmed because we don't know. And even today, 20 or 15, 20 years after having decoded the human genome, we still don't know.
We don't even know how the placebo effect works. And it's theorized that that's written into our DNA.
We've decoded the genome, but we still don't really know what the various genes do. We just know where they are. Well, this has been a fun show, Filbert.
Yes, it has. I agree.
Okay.
I'll have to do this again sometime.
Another fun Filbert Philosophical Thursday. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beat Radio. Thanks, Filbert.
All right. Thank you. Have a good weekend.
The American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.